Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Kuf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence 11 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Beis Omid Aleph. However, in order to appreciate the subject matter of today's Gemara, it is of utmost importance that one is quite familiar with the sugya that was discussed during the last shiur, Daf Kuf Aleph. In fact, we are really entering the middle of a discussion as we pick up our Gemara today. In general terms, we've been discussing the issue of defining when does food become considered food so as to be shayach, to be related to the realm of Tumas Ochlin, so that it is mekabel Tuma as Ochlin and can convey Tuma onwards through contact with other food. In general terms, if something cannot be eaten at all and never could have been eaten, then it's safe to say that even though you're dealing with something that might objectively, on a practical basis, on a metzius level, appear to be food, but since halachically it's something that one cannot eat and never could have eaten, that type of thing will not be considered oichlin. In our previous sugya, on Daf Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, we came to the conclusion that if something could have been roi to be eaten, and being a little more specific, we'll talk about a sacrifice and zrikas hadam. A sacrifice becomes mutter to eat if one does the blood application to the mizbeach. Let us say you have a situation where the blood application was not done. Does that mean that the food, that the sacrificial meat, is not considered ochlin? Well, based on what we learned in our previous year, we said that if you were in a situation that you could have done the zrika, which the term we used, iboizorek, if you could have done the zrika, and for some reason you did not do it, that is sufficient for creating, for gaining the status of oichlin. We saw a source in which it said that ein metame tumas oichlin, with regard to zrika or the lack thereof, that was, as the Gemara said at the lower part, the first wide line on Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, the Gemara said that case was talking about that there was no time in the day to have even done the zrika. But had you have had a situation where there was time in day, zrika must be done during daylight hours. So therefore, if you had a sacrifice that you could have done the zrika, even though you didn't actually do it, and then the meat became nosar, was left over beyond its time, it nevertheless, according to the Gemara there, it would have become tumas shayach to tumas ochlin, related to the topic of tumas ochlin. Our Gemara today picks up with an opinion that says quite otherwise. Before learning the Gemara itself, let's glance at the outside margin where you see the Nosei, and we've included Hemshech. We're featuring a topic heading, but this is really a continuation of a topic. And we've written, Lefi Rav Nachman v'Rav Ashi, these are names we will see in the Gemara, Tumas Oichlin Shayech Rak Bema Shebefoil Hoya Oichel. The realm of Tumas Oichlin is applicable only to something that in actuality was able to be eaten. V'lochein, therefore, pigel bezrika, if someone, let us say, did the blood sprinkling of a korban with a pigel intent, with an intent to eat the meat beyond its allotted time, that renders the korban pigel and usur to eat. Therefore, eino mitama tumas eichlin, delo higia leheter achila, since he did the zrika with a machsheves pigel, it doesn't come to a point in which it can actually be eaten. According to this approach, the lo amrinon iboy izorek, we don't say, well, in potential he could have done the zrika properly. That's not sufficient for bringing something to a point of tumas oichlin. That, by way of introduction, enables us now to look into the Gemara, as we mentioned 11 lines from the top, the beginning of the line, Omar Rav Ashi. Amrisa l'shmaitza kamei de Rav Nachman. I said over our previous sukya to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman seems to respond and says, Afilu temo lon mamish. The afilu temo de pigel bezrika. These are comments that are appreciated really in light of the Gemara that we had learned on our previous shiur. But let us glance at the Rashi. Lon mamish. Hai lon lefnei zriko lachas zriko, dikotoni li'el. This expression of lon lefnei zriko, where the Tanaic source had said there is no tumas ochlin, and la'achar zriko, where it had said there is tumas ochlin, that though that teaching, that phrase, lon lefnei zriko and lachas zriko, dikotoni li'el, lifnei zrika mamish, that which was taught, that lon lifnei zrika, that there is no tumas ochlin, is talking about a case where it was lon, that meat was left over before zrika was actually done. Dehoya shehus bayom, there was time in the day to do the zrika, but he didn't do it. And since he didn't do it, it didn't come to a state of being edible. And we do not say, well, he had the potential to do the zrika, and therefore it's considered ochlin. All that we don't say. As long as you have a situation where he didn't actually do the zrika, ain't tumas ochlin. Ula achar zrika, mamish, komar. The source that said that lon lachar zrika, there is tumas ochlin, we're talking about a case where he did the zrika in actuality. Therefore, there is tumas ochlin. The ha pircha nami, the second pircha, the lower, this is found on the lower part of Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, an additional question that the Gemara asked concerning pigel, bein bekotche kotchim, and bein bekotchim kalim, where it had been said there was no tumas ochlin. The pigel bezrika. He did the zrika with a machsheves pigel. In other words, not like the Gemara was explained in the previous shiur, where he had done the pigel at the point of shchita, where there was never a shas hakosher, but as according to the Gemara on the previous shiur, had he done the pigel b'shas zrika, there would have been tumas ochlin because he had the potential for doing it properly. Today, in this shiur, we are this opinion of Rav Nachman or Rav Ashi is saying otherwise. It's saying even if he did the zrika with a machsheves pigol, there will be no tumas ochlin, and that's what it meant when it said pigol bein bekotche kotchem bein bekotchem kalim. He did the pigol at the point of zrika. Udokal kashiloch, and you'll ask, this is of course based on the Gemara from the previous shiur, the Reb Shimon, the hochalo boy lemeim okolemi lizro kezorokdomi. Here we seem to be saying that Reb Shimon is expressing the sentiment that we do not say that something that's available to be sprinkled is considered a sprinkled. And you'll ask Ada Rabbi Shimon de Pora, and you'll ask this on Rabbi Shimon in the case of the Pora Duma de Omar Kola Oime Liftos Kepodidomi, where he seemed to say that if something is available to be redeemed, it's considered redeemed. And therefore, in the case of the Pora Duma, we said that it's metametumas oichlin, because of the potential to redeem. Lo kashya. To this, we will say, D'i boi porek omar. This is the point that the Gemara will bring out very, very shortly, but Rashi's introducing it to us, that when it comes to saying something in potential, when it comes to redemption, we say, yes, if it has the potential for being redeemed, it's considered redeemed. The mechuser pedio lav kemaisidomi, devorim ba'almoninhu. Redemption is not an action. Redemption is words. It's a statement where you state your desire to transfer the sanctity from the item to money. The iboy zorik lo aminan behu. However, to say that sprinkling in potential is considered as if it's done, as if it's actualized, that we don't say, because the sprinkling is an action, and when it comes to viewing an action in potential as if it's been done, that far we do not go. So that is now what the Gemara is going to say as a resolution of what would have seemed to be an inconsistency within Rabbi Shimon. So reading the Gemara again, afilu temo lon mamish, afilu temo de pigel bezrika, even if you say that he was mefagel, that lon mamish is the case where there was time in the day to do the zrika, he simply didn't do it. And the pigel situation is where he was mefagel bezrika, becholzos we will say there is no tumas ochlin. And this, by the way, is in stark contrast to the way we had learned, the way the Gemara had learned these issues on in the previous shiur. Now you have to speak out between the lines, like we saw in the Rashi. So if you're saying now that we do not look at the potential to do the zrika properly as if it were done, and yet, when it comes to the poraduma that we discussed in our previous year, we say that we look at the potential to do pidyon as if it was done. There's a chiluk. The e boy porik omar, the e boy zorik lo aminon. When it comes to redemption, we look at the potential to do redemption as if it were done, thereby imbuing the poraduma with a food status. Whereas when it comes to Zrika Saddam, we do not say if he wanted to do the Zrika properly, it's considered done. That far, we do not go. Mesvei, we now raise a kasha. You could see from the triangle, this in effect is a continuation of the use of the triangles in attempting to keep track of the back and forth nature of the Gemara. This was already introduced when we saw the triangles in our previous shiur at the beginning. So here we have a kasha, and essentially the kasha is going to be, we're going to show that we look at the potential as if it were done. The potential for Zrika. We're going to look at the potential of having been able to do Zrika as if it were done. We should say another word or two by way of introduction, that this topic that's coming under discussion is in the realm of Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is the violation of benefiting from that which was sanctified prior to a point in time that it becomes mutter, becomes allowed to the Kohanim. So if you have, let us say, a sacrifice, a korban, and the Zrika Saddam was not done yet, let's talk about Kodshei Kodshim, holy level sanctity korbanus. As long as Zrika Saddam was not done, there is an Isser Mi'ilah, a prohibition of benefiting, and if one benefits from it, he will be in violation of Mi'ilah. Once Zrika is done, it becomes mutter to the Kohanim, and as a result of that, even if someone who is not supposed to benefit from it does benefit from it, he's not in violation of Mi'ilah. The Mi'ilah sin is rescinded upon the Zrika Saddam. What about something that Zrika Saddam could have been done to? Will that be sufficient to remove the Isser Mi'ilah? So now let us see the Gemara, the Kasha, and we'll go over the main point later. Meisvei, Klal Omar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says a rule. Kol shehoi soloshas heter lekohanim ein molin bo. Anything that achieved a point of allowance to kohanim, there is no longer the me'ila violation. V'chol shelo hoi soloshas heter lekohanim molin bo. Anything that does not achieve allowance to kohanim, there will be a me'ila prohibition. The Ezu Shas Heter LeKohanim, what is an example of something that achieved a heter, an allowance to the Kohanim? She Lona, meat that was left beyond its time. It had been mutter, it just was left beyond its time. Vishenitmes, or meat that was allowed to Kohanim but became Tome subsequently. Vishiyotza, or meat that was supposed to remain in the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash, in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, and exited. All of those are things that were mutter to Kohanim. What's an example of something that did not have a shas heter l'kohanim? Answer, shenishchato. It was slaughtered with an improper mindset. For example, it was slaughtered chutz lizmana, with the intent of eating the meat beyond its time. V'chutz l'makoma, or eating the meat in the wrong location. V'shekiblu psulin v'zarku esdoma, or at the point of the slaughtering, the blood was received by those that are unqualified, and the unqualified did the blood receipt or the zrikas hadam. So in these cases, the korban never achieved a shas heter l'kohanim. Therefore, if someone benefits from this kind of meat, he will not be in violation of mi'ila. Kotoni mi'o reisha, it says, however, in the reisha, shelono v'shenitmes v'shiyotza. Those were examples of things that had achieved a shas heter l'kohanim. My love, lono mamish. Are we not talking about a case where lono mamish? Let's take a look at the Rashi. My lav lono mamish habosur v'hadam, that the meat or the blood lono mamish was left over beyond its time koidem zrika, before the zrika was done. The katani. So you have a case right now where the meat was left beyond its time, and the zrika had not been done. And it says hoy solo shas heter, and yet that's described as something having had achieved a point of allowance. Veheicho havelei shas heter. Where was the point of allowance? If you're saying the zrika was not done yet, lav mishum di omar. Is it not because we say kevon di ibo izorik? Since in potential, had he wanted to do the zrika, had he performed the zrika, shas heter karina bay, since in potentially could have done this, Rika just didn't do it, but he could have done it. That's sufficient for calling it shas heter. The ein moyalin, and there's no mila de aminon, because we say kevon di iboy zorik kezorik domi. Had he wanted to do this Rika, he could have done it. The kashil Rav Nachman Rav Ashi. This is against their approach. Their approach had stated that we don't view something as oichlin, legabi tumas oichlin, we don't view it unless it actually came to a point in which it could be considered oichlin. The fact that in potential you could have done the zrika was not sufficient. Here we see that we do place an emphasis on the fact that you could have done the zrika. We see that by virtue of the fact that you have something where zrika wasn't done, the meat was left beyond its right time, and it's considered as if it received a heter l'kohanim. Where was the heter? The zrika wasn't done. So we say, in the question, that since in potential he could have done the zrika, we view it as if it were done. Continuing in the Gemara, where the point is developed, the ho ho ho, de'i boi havizorek hu. This is a case where the case of lon, where the lon busser, where he didn't do the zrika, but he could have done the zrika, v'katoni, and it says, di ein moalin. Ein moalin means it achieved a heter l'kohanim. Where was the heter? Unless you say that he could have done the zrika. Loi. The Gemara rejects that. And this is an answer to the question, re'uya lotzeis ure'uya letame. The case featured in the source of Ezu Shas Heter LeKohanim was a case where Zrika Mamish was done. being that the zrika was done, it's now susceptible to the psul, to the problem of the iser, the prohibition of leaving, and the problem of absorbing tumah. In other words, as a result of an actual zrika, we say it's now susceptible to the problems of yotzei and the problems of tumah. And only because there was a zrika mamish, we say there's no mi'ilah. But to say if he wanted to do zrika, he could have done that far, we do not go. Avol, this is now in anticipation of a new question. Avolino mamish mai, but the case of lino mamish, namely where zrika was not done, and it was nifsa belina, what are you going to say? Hochi nami de moyalin? Are you going to say that then there is mi'ilah? Because of our insistence of saying or rejecting the idea of I bo'i zorek. If that's the case, then the language here should have been as follows, should have been different. Hai kol shehoyo loy shas heter lekayhanim, v'chol shelo hoy solo shas heter lekayhanim. That's the language that currently appears in the source. However, it should have been kol sheyesh lo shas heter lekayhanim. In the source, it spoke about something that has a heter lekayhanim is ein mo'alin. When is there ein mi'ilah? Kol sheyesh lo shas heter lekayhanim means when in actuality there was a heter. Or then ain moalin bo. The whole she'ain lo shas heter lekohanim moalin bo mi boyalei. That's what it should have said. The fact that the language is right now as kol shehoya lo shas heter lekohanim, that implies something that could have had a heter lekohanim. When we speak in that form, could have had a heter, we're coming back to the point of e bo e zorek, and that in fact is sufficient to remove the iser mi'ilah. Ela Omar Ravashi. At this point, though, before reading the answer, we are coming back to the point of saying that we'll emphasize the potential. And that's a kasha on the Rav Ashi approach. Therefore, and we're asking this kasha, by the way, from the realm of Me'ilah, where in the realm of Me'ilah we see we do give a premium to the potential to do this rika. Elom Ravashi, Ravashi now says, Me'ilah atuma koramis, are you trying to ask from the realm of Me'ilah on our topic of Tumas Ochlin? They're two different topics. Me'ilah mishum kedusha velav kedushahu. The issue of Me'ilah is if something has kedusha, something has sanctity, there is Me'ilah. If the sanctity is removed, there is no more Me'ilah. And under such circumstances, we say if potential he could have done this Rika, we say kol ha'oyme lizrok kezorok domi, and that's sufficient for removing the kedusha. Labaser de poka la kedusha say, once the kedusha is removed through the fact that it's omeid lizrok, that it's possible to do this rika, but my hadru rachvale, through what should the kedusha come back? In other words, once it gets into the position where you could do this rika, at that point the kedusha is removed, even without the actualizing of the zrika. However, tuma, with regard to our sugya, our general sugya of tumas ochlin, there, mishum uchla, it depends on whether something is edible, something can be eaten, halachically. Velav uchla hi. And if the zrika was not actually done, it's not called ochlin. Kol hecha, the lo mashvilei uchla, eino metame tumas ochlin, where something has not been made into ochlin, and that's only accomplished through the zrika, not the potential for doing the zrika. If you haven't made it into ochlin, it's not metame tumas ochlin. And just to repeat the point again for the who knows what number of time, and it's not enough to say that something is simply omeid lizrok, something is available to do the zrika. Meisvei, we now raise a kasha. Again, you can see we have a triangle. This kasha will be coming primarily from that which is found at the end of the source. And at the end of the source, we're going to see a statement made based on Rabbi Shimon, where we say, Kola oy made lizro kizorog domi, where we'll be reinstating this point, and I could say this problem. This is a problem for the Rav Nachman, Rav Ashi approach, where we'll see under Rabbi Shimon's name that we do place an emphasis on Kola oy made lizrok. That will be that's the essence of the question. Now, the details. Meisvei, Hamevi Oshem Tolui. An Oshem Tolui is a type of sacrifice that one brings when he is in doubt as to whether he violated a type of Avera, a type of sin that when he would know it, that he violated, he would bring a Korban Chatos. Let's cite the classic example. There are two pieces of meat substance. One is chelev, which is forbidden, and one is shuman, one is allowed. He ate one of them, but he doesn't know which piece he ate. Under such circumstances, he brings an Oshem Tolui. The source says, he brought an Oshem Tolui, v'noida shelo chota, and he discovered that he ate the shuman, he ate the allowed substance. Now, the whole issue is timing. When did he discover? Im ad shaloi nishchat noidalo, if prior to the slaughtering of the animal he found out that he did not sin, then yetze v'yira v'eder divrei Rabbi Meir. Then the animal is considered chulin, is considered just simply unnecessary. He doesn't need to bring the sacrifice, and it becomes part of his herd. V'chachomim oimrim, the chomim have a more stringent approach, and they say, this animal is yira ad sheyistoyev, it shall graze until it develops a blemish, v'yimocher, v'yitlu domov l'nedova. And it's then sold, and the money that you receive for its sale will be bought to buy another kind of sacrifice, a nedava sacrifice, a voluntary type sacrifice. The Rabbanan feel that when he dedicated this animal as an Oshem Tolui, he did so with a heavy heart, so to speak. A heavy heart meaning not in terms of the dedication, but rather because of the concern that he has for his possibly having sinned. Therefore, the sanctity status is not automatically removed simply because he discovered that he did not sin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Yakriv, Rabbi Lezer has a unique shita that with regard to the Oshem Tolui, he says, offer it anyway. Shimeinu Baal Chedzeh, if it's not coming for this particular offense because he discovered he didn't commit the offense at all, nevertheless, Harehu Baal Ched Acher, it will come to atone for some other sin. Another situation. He discovered, Mishenishchat Nodalo, after it was slaughtered, he discovered that he didn't need to have brought this. He discovered he did not sin, but when? After it was slaughtered. Well, practically speaking, this is a korban he didn't need to bring. Hadam yishafech v'bosu yisaref. The blood is spilled onto the ground, and the meat is taken to be burnt as a rejected korban. Because what this in effect is, it's really chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. It's something that is really didn't need to be sanctified at all. It had no sanctity to it because it was discovered that he didn't need to bring it. So retroactively, it's chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. It's chulin that was slaughtered in the azora, and it's something that's simply rejected. Nizrak Adam, let us say the individual who was in doubt brought his korban, slaughtered it, did the sprinkling of the blood, and then found out he didn't need to bring it. Habosir Yeochel, the meat can be consumed as true sacrificial meat. At the point of the Zrika, did he know? No, he didn't know. So at the point of the Zrika, this korban accomplished what it's supposed to do. It atoned for a state of doubt. Rabbi Yossi, Oimer, Afilu Hadam, Bekois, Yizorek, Vahadam, Yeochel. Rabbi Yossi says, let us say he discovered that he did not need to bring this korban before the actual zrika was done. The dam, the blood, was still in the blood receptacle. He says, process it anyway. Do the zrika. Do the zrika. Even right now, you know, you didn't need to have brought this korban. Do the zrika and eat the meat as a sacrifice. The Omar Rava, Rabbi Yossi Beshitas Rabbi Shimon Omar. Rabbi Yossi is saying his din over here, his law here is based on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who, by the way, is the central personality in our entire Sukkah. Rabbi Shimon, that is. The Omar, Rabbi Shimon, who says, Kol Oimed Lizrok Kezorok Domi. Something that's available to be sprinkled, it's as if the sprinkling was done. What do we see over here? We see that the discovery of the non-necessity of the korban took place at a point that the blood had not yet been sprinkled. However, since the blood was received in the cup, at that point it's considered sprinkled. He may discover before the actual sprinkling as if that he doesn't need to bring the korban. But that doesn't matter. The sprinkling in our minds is considered as if it were done already. So we see very clearly, according to Rabbi Shimon, we say that that which is omed lizrok, that which is available to be sprinkled, is considered as if it is sprinkled. This is a big problem then for Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman. The Gemara answers, Midi hu taimo. Is this the real reason for Rabbi Yossi? That Rabbi Yossi says you sprinkle the blood and eat the meat because it's as if it were sprinkled? No, this isn't the real reason. Amri d'or v'mishmei Rabbi Yossi b'chanino. Hainu taimo de Rabbi Yossi. The following is the reason for Rabbi Yossi. De kosovar, kli shoreis mekachin es hapsulin l'chadchilo likrav. Service vessels have the power of sanctifying things that are kind of invalid, as long as it's not totally invalid, but kind of invalid, like our case here, where something is, the korban isn't really necessary. Nevertheless, the service vessel has the power to sanctify it, to be offered on the Mizbeach l'chatchila, and treat it as if it's a full-fledged sacrifice. That's the reason for Rabbi Yossi, who says, Hadam b'kos yizrok b'vos yochel, but not because that we look at the potential as if it is actualized. Omalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Mida Omer Rabbi Shimon, kol oimi lizro kizorok domi. Rashi points out that this comment is according to what we thought originally as the Hezber for Rabbi Yossi being based on Rabbi Shimon. So this is an analysis based on a Havamina. So from the fact that Rabbi Shimon said, Kola oimei lizro kezorok domi, things that are in potential, for available in potential, are considered actual. Kola oimei lizro kezorok domi, it would stand to reason something that is supposed to be burnt, it's considered as if it's already burnt. If that be the case, when we speak about nosar, leftover meat, the halacha concerning leftover meat is it is supposed to be burnt. Pora is the pora aduma. The pora aduma is something that is supposed to be burnt. And yet concerning these things that are supposed to be burnt, we say that they're metamet tumas oichlin, that they are in the realm of food items with regard to ritual impurity known as Tumas Oichlin. But why? Afro bi'almaninu. They are destined to be burnt. Something that is only to be burnt is considered as if it's burnt, so it's mere ash. Ash is not food. Omarle, so Rav Kahana answers, Chibas HaKodesh Machsharton. The fact that they were originally sanctified items, this gives them a special status. That's chibas hakodesh, literally the adoration or the love of the affinity toward sanctity. Machsharton gives them this status of being shayach to the realm of tumas oichlin. Omar le Ravino le Ravashi, nehi de mahanya lehu chibas hakodesh lepsula de gufei lekruye tomei nami. Granted that we see that chibas hakodesh is able to impart upon these items the ability to be considered tomei. Namely, Nosar and Pora can become Tomei as Tumas Ochlin. Lemini be Rishon Vesheni Nami Mi Mahan Yole. Let us say a sheretz. A sheretz is a type of creature that, if it's dead, it conveys Tuma to that which comes into contact with it. Let us say a dead sheretz touches the Pora Aduma meat. A sheretz is called an avatuma. That which it touches is called a rishon, a first level, first generation, or first subsequent generation of tuma. If that touches something else, if the food that had come into contact, or let's say specifically if the pora that had come into contact with the sheretz now touches some other food item, will that be considered a sheni l'tuma? So we're dealing with a realm of tumas ochlin. We're saying that chibas hakodesh makes the pora aduma or nosar meat susceptible to tumas ochlin, and therefore, if a sheretz touches it, does it become a rishon, and thereby able to impart tuma to something else and be classified as a sheni? Now, if you say that in fact is the case, that the item doesn't merely become tomei as oichlin, but also has the power of communicating tuma down another stage, if that be the case, well then, tifshot deboi reish lakish. We would be able to conclude reish lakish's question. Bear in mind, if reish lakish is asking a question, it must be that the answer is not so readily, so obvious. Otherwise, he would have known the matter and wouldn't have raised it as a question. Nevertheless, we know that Reish Lakish has a question concerning Tzrid Shel Menachos. Tzrid Shel Menachos, Tzrid means something dry. A mincha is a meal offering. It's flour that's mixed with oil. Let us say a certain section of the flour doesn't come into contact with the oil. Oil is something that is machshir lekabel tuma, enables something to be suitable or eligible for absorbing tuma. Something that doesn't have contact with oil or other specific types of liquids is not eligible for being mekabel tuma. However, here we're dealing with something that was sanctified as a mincha, sanctified as a meal offering. And we have part of the flour is dry. It hasn't come into contact with the oil. Reish Lakish wants to know that granted there's this concept of chibas hakodesh, and that elevates something to being susceptible to tuma. Reish Lakish wants to know, though, that once it becomes susceptible to Kabbalah's Tuma, moinin bo rishon v'sheni or ein moinin bo rishon v'sheni, does that enable it to be considered a rishon and thereby communicate Tuma another stage? That's Reish Lakish's question. Now, going back to our sukya, we said that if they have the Pora Duma and the Noisar, which are Oymeid Lisrof, how is it that they're Mekabal Tuma? How is it that they're Mekabal Tumas Oichlin? Well, we said because of Chibas HaKodesh. Well, then we said, well, Chibas HaKodesh, does that mean that we count also Rishon and Sheni with regard to these things? And if you do, so then Reish Lakish didn't really have to ask his question. The Gemara answers as follows. In truth, it may very well be that Chibas HaKodesh is machshir the Pora Aduma and the Nosar to become Tomei Tumas Ochlin. And in fact, that Pora that came into contact, let's say, with the Sheretz, if it touches something else, it makes it into a Sheni. That nevertheless won't solve Reish Lakish's question, because Reish Lakish was asking on a Doraisa level, which we'll explain a little more in a minute. Ki komibayale l'Reish Lakish de'oraisa. He wants to know, Reish Lakish wants to know, if Chibas HaKodesh is sufficiently powerful to make it such that the item that otherwise would not be tameh because it wasn't mukshel lekabel tumah, didn't come into contact with the oil, but it became subject to tumah because of Chibas HaKodesh. Now, if it touches something else, will I burn the second item as kodshim shinitmu, as something that's holy that became tameh? That's Reish Lakish's question. Reish Lakish's question, once again, is, do we count Rishon, let's say the dry part of the mincha, if it touches something else after the sheretz touched the dry part of the mincha and that dry part touches something else that's of a sacrificial nature, will I burn it? And our discussion, ki ko amrinon de rabbonon, what we said about chivas hakodesh being machshir something to be considered oichlin, true, it becomes oichlin, and we may call it a rishon, and if it touches something else, we will call it a sheni, but we went so far as to say only that if the second item, the sheni, comes to be, we will simply, toilin means we leave it aside, but we do not burn it. Burning it is a drastic demonstration of certainty that something is tameh. We don't take that stand as far as our conclusions regarding Chibas HaKodesh, but we do call Chibas HaKodesh the Nosar and the Torah that became considered Ochlin and hence become a Rishon if it comes into contact with a Sheretz. We will, if it touches some other korban, we will simply leave it aside. We won't eat it, but we also will not burn it. Burning it, as we said, is too drastic an action to do unless you have certainty concerning the topic. And that was Reish Lakish's question, that we say Rishon Vesheni is achieved, but is it achieved to the level at which we would actually burn the sheni that came into contact with this item that we called a rishon as a result of chibas hakodesh? The Mishnah. This Mishnah has in it a number of different examples, and you can see the double underlining used to highlight the beginning of each new section of the Mishnah, whereby someone vows to bring a meal offering, but when he actually brings it, he brings it in such a way that's different from the way he vowed. He accepted upon himself a vow to bring a mincha in a machvas vessel, and instead he brought it in a marcheshes. Machvas is a flat type vessel, and a marcheshes is a deep vessel, or the other way around. When we speak about these different vessels, there's also a difference in the consistency of the dough that's prepared, and this is something that we have learned much earlier in the Masechta. So he did not bring according to that which he vowed. What is the ruling? Masha hevi hevi, v'idei choivoso lo yotza. That which he brought is accepted as a meal offering, but his original obligation he has not fulfilled. The fact that we accept what he brought as a legitimate offering, we simply say that, well, if he brought something other than he originally vowed, it must be that he's bringing it as another dedication, but his original vow remains a debt. Zu lahavi b'machvas, he earmarks, or he delineates some flour and says he's going to bring this as a machvas, vehevi b'machashes, and he brings it as something else. B'machashes vehevi b'machvas, hare zu psula. This is simply unfit, it's invalid, because once he mentioned the vessel in which he wanted to bring it, he can't now change it to something else. He accepted upon himself a quantity of two isaron to bring in one vessel. And in other words, he intended to bring one mincha with a quantity of two isaronos. And he brought them in two separate vessels. Or he originally vowed to bring two separate menachas, and he mixed them together and brought them in one vessel. In other words, he's bringing something different than he originally said. So as we saw earlier, ma shehevi hevi videi chovaso lo yotza. That which he brings, what he brings now, we say he's bringing it as something else, some other obligation or some other dedication, but his original vow he has not fulfilled. Eilu lahavi b'kli echad vehevi b'shnei kelim. He earmarks some flour, and he says, I want to bring this quantity, this amount, in one vessel. And he brings it in two separate vessels. B'shnei kelim vehevi b'kli echad. Hare eilu psulim. This is invalid. The problem here is, let us take, for example, he said he earmarked it to bring in one vessel. He brings it in two separate vessels. Well, what's going to happen is he's going to end up taking two handfuls, two kmitzis. And he made his nether was to bring only one. And when doing that, when he takes off the extra kmitza, he's now created a mincha that's chaser, that's missing from its original quantity. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hare olai shnei esreinois lohavi bikli echad. Vehevi b'shnei kelim. A person had accepted on himself to bring two esronos in one vessel. And we see him bringing it in two separate vessels. Omrulo, before he does anything, they say to him, b'kli echad adarta, you said you were going to bring in one vessel. Hey, what are you doing bringing it in two? Hikrivon b'shnei kelim, psulim. If he offers it without reacting to what they said, he simply goes ahead and offers it in two separate vessels, it is unfit. It's invalid. B'kli echad ksherim. If he rectifies the situation, then it's okay. Hare olai shnei esronos lohavi b'shnei kelim. He accepts upon himself two esronos to bring in two separate vessels. Vehevi b'kli echad. And he brings them in one vessel. Armulo, they say to him, hey, but b'shnei kelim adarte. You said you were going to bring it in two separate vessels. What are you doing bringing it in one? Hikrivon b'shnei kelim ksherin. If he brings them in two separate vessels, in other words, he reacts to what they are saying, then it's okay. Nosnu l'kli echad. If he takes these two esronos and he brings them in one vessel, kishtei menochos shenis arvu. Then it's like two menochos that got mixed up. And we've learned this in the past, and we say that if the mixing is not total, in other words, he can remove there's a section of this that remains separate. He can take a separate kmitza from each part of the flour that represents the original two menachas. Then it's okay. Utsricha. The Gemara points out that I need these different examples. Di Ashmina Hach Kamaisa, had we taught the case of Hareol Ibe Machvas Vevi Bemacheshes, where we say he did not fulfill his vow, Mishum Domar Bemachvas Vekomaisi Bemacheshes. He said one thing, he said to bring in a Machvas, and now he's bringing in a different vessel altogether. Avol Hocho, but the case where he said he would bring it in two vessels and brought it in one. He said he was going to bring in two vessels. Two vessels meaning two machvas. And he brought them in one machvas. Or vidi vidi marcheshes. Or he had said he was going to bring it in two marcheshes. And he brings it in one. Emo, I would have thought, yedei nidro nami yotza, that the fact that he's bringing it in the same type of vessel that he originally said, that he's in fulfillment of his original vow as well. Viashmin and hach. And if we would tell you just that case, Mishum Dekor Poligluhu, he's divided. He has divided. He said he was going to bring it in one vessel, and he's now split it into two separate vessels. Avol Hosam Delo Poliglo Emalo. But in the original case where he didn't do any division, he simply brought them in a different vessel, I would think that maybe he does fulfill his vow. Tzricha. Therefore, I need to tell you in both cases that he does not fulfill his original vow. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a brief brisa, and this is brought in to introduce Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Ma shehevi hevi videi nidro lo yotza. There's a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara pointing up to the point in the Mishnah where this phrase was also seen. And we have the case where he mentioned he was going to bring in a machbas and he brought in a macheshes, or vice versa, the Mishnah said concerning that he's not in fulfillment of his original vow. Rabbi Shimon Omer af yedei nidro nami yotza. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with the entire Mishnah, and he says that the fact that you in your original vow established it in a certain type of vessel, that kvius mona, establishing vessel, is not binding. It's not something that causes him to be bound specifically to that, and therefore, if there is some change in that respect, Rabbi Shimon says he is in fulfillment of his vow. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.